You're listening to a podcast by Asian Efficiency. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Tan.
And today we want to talk about the essential tools that you need to be productive.
Now, everyone has different preferences, different modes, and different tastes for what they want in a productive environment. And so today we're going to share a little bit about our own environments. And what we kind of did was analyze and looked at different setups, different offices, and looked at what really worked for certain people and what didn't. And in this podcast, we're going to talk about how to set up your own productive office environment.
Yeah, so we're going to start at the very beginning, at the bare bones. So at the very minimum, you need a computer and you need a set of earphones. At Asian Efficiency, we're big Apple advocates, so we would rather say you need a MacBook and earphones, but a laptop will also do.
One thing we've noticed is most of our listeners and readers are actually modern knowledge workers, and a lot of them are also people who travel a lot, people who run their own online businesses, and so most of our readers have a laptop, which is one of our bare minimums. But also, we want to add on top of that the earphones, because if you travel a lot and you work remotely a lot, then having those earphones is essential because it will allow you to block out any noise while you're working, but also it will make it harder for people to interrupt you.
Yeah, we'd recommend you invest in a good pair of isolation earphones. Like the standard iPod earbuds that you see everywhere usually aren't good enough because they don't block out ambient noise. The type of earphones that you're after are in-ear earphones that sit in your ear canal and actually seal over the ear canal so that all the noise from outside is blocked out. Now, it's not even necessary to play music on the earphones while you have them in. Sometimes it's just useful to have them in to stop other people from bothering you when you're working or to block out all the external noise. Now, the one thing you want to keep in mind about working with a laptop is that the advantage of having a laptop is that you can work from anywhere. At the same time, that's also the disadvantage of having a laptop. So, if you're a remote knowledge worker and you happen to work from home, what you want to do is to try to separate your work location from where you sleep, or where you eat, or where you do other things. What this does is it helps your brain differentiate and it puts you in the right frequency for working or for your day-to-day living, depending on where you are in your house.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I used to live in an apartment back in LA, and I didn't have like my own office environment back home, so I did most of my work within my own bedroom. I had like a huge desk where I could sit. But what I started noticing was, since I was in the same place the whole time, it was really hard for me to distinguish between when I was working and when I was not. And so sometimes I would feel really overworked even though I wasn't working, because I always felt like being in that room was when I was supposed to work. But also I was sleeping in that room. So it was very hard for my brain and for myself to really see if I was working or not and to distinguish that. So while we're on the topic of computers, let's talk a little bit about computer gear. Aaron, what do you think is essential and not?
So a couple of the other tools that we have are a tablet in the form of an iPad and a smartphone, in our case in the form of an iPhone. Now, these are things that are optional, but if you do knowledge work, they're both items that will make your working time and your workspace significantly more productive. So a tablet is essentially a second monitor for your computer, but it's different from a second external monitor in the sense that it's also a reference device for documents and media. Now, when we're producing content for Asian Efficiency, we often use tablets for viewing mind maps or viewing notes when we're doing, for example, podcasts like this one.
Now, one thing you want to keep in mind is, if you're listening to this, you definitely want to check out our Sync article, because if you use a tablet and a smartphone, you always want to make sure that the data on those devices are always up to date. So make sure you either use a form of syncing, either through MobileMe in Apple servers or Google Sync or Dropbox.
Yeah, and your smartphone, whether it's an Android device or an iPhone, as they say, is an absolute game changer, especially in the workplace and especially for people who are solo entrepreneurs or freelancers. Because with the right applications, your iPhone or your smartphone is more than just a phone. It's a camera, it's a document scanner, it's a second web browsing device, and it's also your office radio all packaged into one.
I actually want to make a stronger case that any knowledge worker nowadays needs to have a smartphone, just because all the apps that it has, any of the features that any smartphone has, is such a like time saver in so many ways. Let's say you get lost, you know, you have a GPS feature on your phone or a Maps feature. Let's say you need to take some photos of something. Instead of carrying around a digital camera, most smartphones have a camera. Let's say you need to scan documents. Well, nowadays you can use your camera on your phone as a scanner. And we've actually written an article about that on going paperless with Evernote with your iPhone.
Yeah, just as an example of that, a couple of months ago, a friend of mine was in Bangkok and he had to send his bank documentation to get a new credit card issued for him because he had lost his. So we were sitting in a coffee shop in one of the malls here, and all we had were laptops, phone, and the documents that he needed to scan in. So using our smartphone and then using wireless connectivity, we were able to scan in all his paperwork, make it look pretty on the computer, and then fax it through an online internet connection direct to his bank. Now, I guess to some people listening, that doesn't seem particularly revolutionary or anything, but if you stop and think about it, it really is. Because traditionally, in order to fax something to, say, the United States from Thailand, you would have to go to a proper office or go to an office supply store and hunt down a fax machine and work through all the paperwork there. Whereas with the technology available, with all this equipment nowadays, you can just do it sitting from a Starbucks somewhere in a mall.
So let's talk a little bit about the other gear that we need to be productive. Let's start off with monitors.
Now, ideally, if you have your own workspace, a large monitor is something very nice to have. The main reason for this is simply you get more screen real estate at a higher resolution. So you can not necessarily have more windows open, but you can have a better reference of what's on your screen. For example, if you're editing a Word document, you know, a large monitor could have two A4 pages side by side or two letter-sized pages side by side, rather than like on a laptop screen where you can only open, you know, part of a page at a time. Beyond just the monitor, having somewhere to put your laptop, so whether that's a laptop dock of sorts or a laptop stand just to place your laptop on, having a USB hub to plug in all your peripherals, having an external mouse and keyboard, some speakers, and a wireless networking setup, as well as having a mouse pad and a headset. These are all things that, while you don't need them necessarily to work, they do make the time that you spend working a lot more comfortable and a lot more productive.
Yeah, they aren't really necessary, it's just nice things to have. Especially when it comes to monitors. I mean, there's two camps about this. One says, get the biggest monitor you can get so that everything fits on one screen. The other camp is, get two monitors and split your view that way. Test to see what works for you. One is not necessarily better than the other. Although there was initial research that said you need only a certain amount of pixels to get most of your work done, but test what works for you. Either get one big monitor, maybe like a 30 inch, or get two bigger monitors, maybe two 24 inches. And, you know, see what works for you. Not everyone has the same preferences, of course.
So beyond just your monitor and place to put your computer, if you happen to have the luxury of having a separate workroom or study or an office, there are a couple of things we'd recommend. The first is a nice office chair that's comfortable to sit in. Now, there's no perfect chair out there. You basically need to go to a furniture store and try out a lot of different chairs to find out what works for you.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to spend a lot of time on this, because when you think about it, you have to spend most of your day on a chair.
Yep.
Especially when you do work on the computer. So find the chair that is most suitable for you. So either based on your height, how tall you are, the height of your desk. These are all things you want to keep in mind. I know you have one of your favorite chairs.
Yeah, my personal favorite is the Aeron chair by Herman Miller. If you live in the US or a English-speaking country, it's probably relatively easy to get anywhere else in the world, and it's a bit of a pain to track down. But it's basically a customized chair that comes in different sizes and has a lot of like bells and whistles. The main benefit of the chair is that the material that it's made from is, it's kind of like a weave fabric that lets air circulation flow through. So the problem with a lot of office chairs, especially the foam ones, is that you sit on them and they get really warm after a while. With an Aeron chair, you can sit on it all day, and because air flows through the weave, you're never going to get warm, and it's just very comfortable and ergonomic. The other thing that is worth having if you have your own workspace is a big desk for your computer and for all your office equipment.
with the emphasis on big.
Yes, the bigger the better usually. Now, back in San Francisco, I had what was called a biomorph desk, which was basically a very big multi-level desk that had two levels, one for a monitor and for all my computer stuff, and then the other for the keyboard and for a large writing surface. Now, you don't need that particular brand of desk. There are many alternatives available, and actually a lot of everyday furniture stores nowadays will stock multi-level desks just for that purpose. What you don't want, one of those small desks that, you know, fits compactly in a corner and has just enough room for you to put your monitor and a keyboard on and then nothing else. You basically want a large surface, because if you want to work productively, you have to be able to type, you have to be able to write, you have to be able to put things on your desk and have documents that you're going to refer to.
Yeah, back in Amsterdam, where I grew up, in LA, I used to have a corner setup. What I really liked was that it was a 90 degree shape. So just imagine like a 90 degree angle, and if you put your desk in one place, then you have the other side of the 90 degree angle to do all the other stuff that you need to do. So a lot of times I would have my laptop and monitor on one desk, and then on the other side of the desk I would have all my printers and some space to do some writing. So everything was really easy to grab, and everything was within reach because I could easily switch between what I was doing, and I could easily get things done because everything was within reach. I know one of my friends, he used to have a U desk shape, U, like in the letter U. So you kind of like walk into your desk, and then everything around you within like 180 degrees is within reach, because you can just like turn around and everything is like within arm's length. So that was a really cool setup too. But figure out what works for you, what you prefer. The only downside, I think, of a U desk is that you don't have a lot of space for moving. So if you like moving your chair or standing up and things like that, then a U desk is probably not the best thing to get. If you like to have everything within reach, within a 180 degree angle, then a U-desk is definitely a good way to go.
Yeah, something else to consider with your desk is try to get one that has an adjustable height, so you can alternate between working sitting down and working standing up. Now, I guess to some people it sounds kind of weird to work standing up, but you'll be surprised how much more productive you are when you're basically forced to stand at your desk and work. You tend to get things done a lot more quickly, and you tend to procrastinate a lot less. Not to mention that ergonomically, it's actually a lot better for you as well.
Yeah, I haven't tried that myself, but I definitely want to, next time when I'm situated somewhere for a longer period of time, try that out.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about gears, electronic gears, and nice things to have.
The first I would say is a digital camera. Now, the digital camera has kind of become a little bit redundant because, you know, everyone has smartphones with high resolution, or rather high megapixel cameras built in. What I used to do was carry a digital camera around to use basically as a portable photocopier to take images of documents or presentation slides. Nowadays, I just use my iPhone camera for that. The second piece of gear is a flip cam, which is basically a very small, very portable video camera that takes, 720p high definition video. So you can use that wherever you go. In terms of video camera technology, the smartphone hasn't quite caught up with the rest of the mainstream electronic gear yet. So a separate video camera like a flip cam is still pretty useful.
But I'm going to predict within a couple of years that it's going to be obsolete too, like the digital camera.
Yeah. Now, another thing that's very useful to have is an old-fashioned dictaphone.
Damn, that's old school.
Yeah. So in the corporate world, dictaphones are mostly used by lawyers when dictating, obviously, but you can use them for more than that. So you can use them for recording content, to recording interviews, to just basically jotting down random thoughts and ideas.
Especially when you have meetings, those are things that you always want to record and review later. Especially nowadays, with most smartphones, you can have a recording take place on your phone. And surprised or not, we actually do one on the iPhone right now.
Yeah. I mean, there is an advantage to having a full-blown, fully featured dictaphone in that editing and going back and forward is pretty much built into the dictaphone, and the file size of the recording tends to be a lot smaller than on, say, a smartphone. That being said, give it probably 6 to 12 months and the recording applications on a smartphone will probably catch up with all the functionality of a full-blown dictaphone.
Now, another thing that's nice to have, or in some cases even mandatory, is external hard drives. because what you always want to be doing is back up your data. I always hate seeing it when people don't back up their computers or their laptops or their data, and then one day something crashes and poof, everything is gone. And it's something that you can easily avoid by backing up your data at least once a week. Just
yeah.
save your work at least once a week.
It's just something you can set up to happen automatically in the background once, and it'll just keep doing it by itself. So if you have a Mac, just use the built-in backup function with Time Machine, and whenever you plug in your USB hard disk, your computer will automatically start backing up onto the hard disk. If you have a PC, you probably have to schedule it in to run on a daily basis or a weekly basis, but the same principle applies. Whenever you're at your workspace and your computer's plugged into your USB hub, just make sure that the backup hard disk is also part of that setup. So another really good nice to have is a big whiteboard or a large wall-like surface to sketch out ideas on. Now, this is one thing that I really miss, because in the corporate world, these whiteboards are found pretty much everywhere. And the ability to map out all your ideas visually on a large surface is invaluable. Now, I've tried using iPad applications, I've tried using large drawing canvases, but in the end, nothing really replaces the draw and erase sort of functionality and feel of a proper whiteboard. I'm not really sure why either.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think even my mapping on your iPad doesn't give the same feel, or drawing with your fingers on the iPad screen. It's just,
yeah.
I think...
something
freedom,
about markers.
Yeah. And also the freedom that you have. Because like iPad real estate is pretty small, whereas a big-ass whiteboard is so huge that you can just let your creative juices just flow and let things come out.
Yeah.
And also it's cooler in a way where you can show your ideas right away to someone else who's in that room. So you can, like, if you have an idea, just jot it down right away and everyone can see it, especially if you have a meeting.
Yeah. Now, another thing that I miss from the office is having a filing cabinet. Because in certain countries, you have a law and a regulation where you have to keep all your business documents for up to 7 years. Nowadays, what I actually do is I'm in the habit of scanning everything and storing in a database on my computer. Tan actually has a great article about going paperless with your iPhone and Evernote, which is essentially that process of taking all your documents, scanning them digitally, and keeping them as PDFs on your computer.
But we also have an article coming up on how to do that with DevonThink.
Very soon. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the more manual tools that you should also have available in your workspace. So post-it notes are insanely useful, especially if you're someone who doesn't use digital task management yet, even though if you're listening to this, you probably have already started. But post-it notes are just good for jotting down random ideas and keeping them somewhere until you have time to go through and process all of them into your task manager.
Yeah, one thing you want to keep in mind is if you use post-it notes and you plug them onto your monitor, make sure you clean up your post-it notes at the end of the day so that you're always sure that you have the latest things on there. Because, you know, I used to work in a big office environment and I always see post-it notes on monitors that were from dated maybe 2 months ago and that had nothing to do with their workflow. So, you know, try to avoid those as much as you can. So by the end of the day, just try to clean it up. This will avoid many distractions in real estate too.
Yeah. The other thing I like to have is a Moleskine notebook, or any other kind of notebook also works. Is there something about the feeling of putting pen to paper for brainstorming and jotting down certain ideas? You know, I've tried using a stylus with a tablet. It just doesn't quite have the same feel to it for some reason. There is just something to being able to switch between writing down something to sketching a small diagram or a small flowchart and then going back to writing that you just can't replicate on a digital device as of yet.
Another thing you want to have is paper clips, envelopes, pens, and highlighters that you use on a regular basis. And make sure you have plenty of paper around you where you can jot down notes in case you don't use a Moleskine.
Yep. Okay, now we're going to talk a bit about software, and obviously we could go on and on and on and on for another couple of hours about software and how great it is and what helps your productivity, but let's stick with the essentials here. So the first thing that you need is some sort of music player. Now, whether that's Spotify, if you're lucky enough to live in Europe, Pandora if you live in the US, or iTunes if you live anywhere else, you need some sort of music player. So what you want to do is you want to have different playlists for different work modes. So at a minimum, we would suggest having something with lyrics for doing tasks where you don't have to concentrate too much, something without lyrics for when you need to, quote-unquote, get in the zone and do work that requires you to concentrate, and then a chill-out playlist of either classical music or, I guess, electronic chill-out music, just for easy listening or for when you need something different.
Yeah, and if you get bored of your music pretty fast, unlike some people we know, you can always try to make sure that you have like a task, let's say every Sunday or every weekend, where you update your playlist. You always try to find new songs. And that's why we love Pandora, because if you let Pandora play long enough, you'll discover many new artists, many new songs, and related songs. So you can always update your playlist. So if you get bored really fast of your music, try to update your playlist at least once a week so that you always have updated music on your playlist so you don't get bored. And because if you get bored, then getting work done gets a lot harder.
Yeah. The other thing we'd recommend having is a software Pomodoro timer of sorts. Tan, you just want to give us a quick overview of the Pomodoro technique and how the timer plays into that?
Especially for people who have short attention spans, what we recommend is for you to apply the Pomodoro technique. So what this means is you work in short cycles of 25 minutes, and after each cycle of 25 minutes, you take a 5-minute break. So in those 25 minutes, all you do is work on that task you set yourself to do. And after 25 minutes, you take a 5-minute break, and each 4 cycles, meaning 2 hours, you take a 30-minute break, get something to eat, get something to drink, and then after 30 minutes of break time, you go back to work. Now, in order to keep yourself in check, you want to get yourself a timer. Now, you have physical timers, like digital ones, or you can get a software timer that you can install on your computer. So if you check out the Pomodoro Technique article, you'll find plenty of software for that.
Yep. Okay, let's talk about some more general principles for organizing your workplace.
If you work in an office environment, make sure that the office you have is comfortable for you, but not so comfortable for other people. And the reason I say this is because a big part of distractions and interruptions within an office environment is because of other people. If other people can come into your office and interrupt you, then that kind of kills your workflow. And once you start working and you're like in the flow, in the zone, then the last thing you want is for someone to interrupt you. So make sure that you make your office comfortable for you, but not so comfortable for other people. So the way to do that is by, for example, having one chair in there, and that chair is only for you. Another thing you can do is if you have a door, make sure you close it, and you could put a label on the door that says do not disturb or anything. Now, I know some people, they work in cubicles, so it's very hard to do something like that. In that case, that's when the earphones are more likely to help you.
Yeah, definitely. Having earphones in, for some reason, just signals to other people, please do not disturb me. And I guess most people are afraid to interrupt someone wearing earphones while they're working. So we've already talked about separating your workspace from your living space. And then we briefly mentioned also that if you're going to have a separate workspace, you want to have everything that you need within arm's reach. All your tools should be around you, your printer, your stationery, your scanner, your computer, obviously. You don't want to have to walk around to get access to these things. So let's talk about some next actions for everyone listening. So if we start with the bare bones of having a laptop and some earphones, from there, you can start to construct your ideal setup. So what you want to do is you want to think about all the things that you possibly need to make your workspace more efficient and more productive. Now, one way to go about this is to come up with 3 to 4 different configurations for different workspace scenarios. So for example, if I'm going to go work remotely from a Starbucks or from a cafe, I know that at the bare minimum, I'll need my laptop, my smartphone, my earphones, and a power adapter. If I'm at home, I want to have my setup with USB hubs and hard disks and a printer already plugged in and ready to use.
Now, as a bonus, we're going to add a couple images to this post on examples of good setups so that you can look at what looks good and that you can copy. We're also going to include examples of workspaces that are not that good, so you know what not to do.
Yep. So this has been a podcast from AsianEfficiency.com about essential tools for a productive workspace environment.